Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line on a Monday morning. This is hour number two. I'm Kevin Walsh. That is Donnie Wrightside. Closed out hour number one, talked a little bit about the absolute beauty of the expanded playoffs there. Imagine a world where the expanded playoffs would have actually given us Justin Herbert and people would have been complaining about Mahomes versus Herbert. Never would have happened. Bad take. Get it off the timeline. That's all I'm going to say. I'm still annoyed. I tried to do a clean break from hour one, hour two. Couldn't do it. Still bothered. It is what it is. Let's move forward because the NFL, of course, gave us tremendous games to break down. We still have two more to go and a third one to preview here in this hour. But the NFL, Donnie, has a number of teams obviously already into their offseason. And the Seattle Seahawks are clearly going to create all of the headlines this offseason. To be honest with you, Donnie, they're kind of annoying, the Seattle Seahawks. I love trades. I love rumors. This group makes me roll my eyes maybe more than any. They're like, yeah, we're going to bring back Pete Carroll. Huh? Why? But really, this all breaks down to maybe the corniest human being alive in Russell Wilson. Boy. I want to be a Seahawk for life. I also would like to explore my details. I want to win a Super Bowl here, but I'd like to see if maybe I can land in a better situation. Enough. You have a no-trade clause. You control your destiny. You want out. We all think you should get out. Just say you want out. Enough of the nonsense. Donnie, your reaction to Russell Wilson saying he'd like to explore his options.
It's the right of every, you know, big time player in professional sports. If they're a little bit unhappy, they control the cards. There's only a handful of people in the world that can do that. He's one of those. But we're talking about passive aggressive moves here. There's one hard line stance that you can take and say, I'm not coming back. I don't want to play here. Deshaun Watson style. Hey, by the way, we can't. I don't care. I'd rather sit on the side. Pay me full. I'll sit on the sideline rather than actually show up to the facility. If you remember in the summer, Deshaun Watson playing safety on the third team scout team late in August, which was hilarious to watch. But yes, what has shown you? Was it like a win in the last game of the season? Ooh, we beat Arizona. Let's run this thing back. That's what I think people get caught up so much on, Kevin, throughout the length of a 17-game season over 18 weeks. You take the good and the bad, and then you reevaluate at the end of the season. This isn't one of those feel-good stories where Pete Carroll is old, and we yell at him every single year, and nothing's going to change next year, Kevin. When Russ and him meet in the room, and the Seattle ownership says, let's all come back, and we scratch our head and go, why is Russell Wilson 12 of 17, and it's late in the fourth quarter in the game, when it's clearly working that they can pass the football, but refuse? Oh, they don't have any good wide receivers. Yeah, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, no good. But we're going to pound guys into the middle of the line of scrimmage with a bad offensive line. We saw the capabilities here. Now, I'm under the impression that if you are Seattle, you go right to Russell. You forget about the ownership. You forget about the front office. You forget about the coaching staff and the players. You go meet with Russell Wilson and say to yourself, there's two things that are going to happen here. I'm going to fire Pete Carroll, but I want to build around you. I want to bring in another wide receiver. I want to bring in an up-and-coming coach that is going to dial up plays where guys are wide open every play. And Russ, for the final chance of your back end of your career, you are going to cook every week. How does throwing 40 times a game sound? Where you're going to light it up out here? Oh, that sounds kind of good. Or number two, Kevin, I go to Russell Wilson and I say, hey, look, it's not working out. Pete's gone. So if you said you loved him and you're not going to play, we already fired him. He's out of here. GM, he's gone too. So I'm going to come to you and say, what destinations do you want to go to? And I guarantee that if I get two first-round picks, I'll move you to the choice that you want to go to. If you remember way back, Kevin, Donovan McNabb and the Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid, mm-hmm. They were going to move him. There was more on the table to send him to the Oakland Raiders, like two first-round picks or a first and a second. And they said, you know what? Respect this guy too much. I'm not banishing you to Oakland. We'll trade you to Washington and take like two number twos back in the meantime. They would do that for Russell Wilson to accommodate. The same way, Kevin, back in the day where you saw they had, you know, the Peyton Manning-led Indianapolis Colts. He got injured and they cut him as opposed to just trading him somewhere else.
As the radio audience enters the fold, appreciate all those tuned into the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside here on a Monday morning, reacting to Russell Wilson, not requesting a trade, because he's never going to do that. Just exploring his options, because he's going to try and do this, as Donnie said, as passive-aggressively as possible. That way, no one in Seattle can be mad at enough, dude. Just say you want out. It's a bad situation. We get it. But here's the thing, Donnie, about this that is also interesting to me, right? The two guys that are going to finish 1 and 2 in the MVP award this year, right? Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady is 44. Okay, he's an anomaly. I get it. Aaron Rodgers is 38 years old. Does anyone think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be anything less than a top five quarterback in the NFL next year? Why do I bring this up? Russell Wilson is 33, Donnie. Basically, the way the sport has changed, I don't even know if he's in the prime of his career yet with the way that just quarterbacks tend to operate. But he is wasting away with an organization that somehow says, yeah, we're going to bring back Pete Carroll. Remove Russell Wilson and a desire to potentially leave altogether. Donnie, last year, they are upset in the opening round of the playoffs by a team that paid through the absolute nose to get rid of the quarterback that walked into your building and beat you in the LA Rams and Jared Goff. This year, you are absolutely useless with or without Russell Wilson. Donnie, they went to the Super Bowl consecutive years and they've continued to come up short. And let's not forget the end result of the last time they were in the Super Bowl basically shattered the organization to its core because of a decision that was given by Pete Carroll. It's been long overdue, regardless of what Russell Wilson does. Pete Carroll cannot remain their head coach. Speaking of head coaches on the hot seat, Cowboys Niners is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cowboys. That's kind of how you hook a viewer, but also, what if we don't get to anything else in the show? Because what a game. And there's so many different angles to talk about. Is it Dak Prescott's stat line, 23 of 43, 254, touchdown and a pick, that is almost the exact same stat line as Jalen Hurts? That's certainly a piece of it. Is it the fact that Mike McCarthy continues to not really know what he's doing? Yeah, I think that's probably a factor as well. Is it the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo, no matter what the situation is, does whatever he can to make sure the opponent has a chance to win the game? That's certainly relevant. But maybe Donnie will circle back to all of that. The end of this football game, the Dallas Cowboys trying to see if they can score a touchdown with minimal time remaining. 14 seconds on the clock. They're at the 41-yard line of the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners say, here, the middle of the field. And Dallas somehow went, I got an idea. I think we could attack the middle of the field. And Dak Prescott runs down the field for a gain of 17. And we never run another play. Your reaction to the end of Cowboys-Niners.
I like it. We're going to start with the end and then work our way back through the game because it was unbelievable to watch this unfold, which typically the Dallas Cowboys probably shouldn't even have the football back to begin with, but they did. And they did the right thing, Kevin, starting off that drive, dink and dunk, short outs, 10-yard plays, get out of bounds, inch closer. Because if you were asking for the optimum scenario, get the football, Kevin, around the 30-yard line with two plays left, which means that, of course, you're not going to throw a slant pass for 19 yards because the game will be over, but two legitimate looks at the end zone. And the simple fact that they ran the quarterback draw. So here's me thinking. Dak takes off, Nick. What is Dak Prescott doing? How could you improvise in the biggest time of this game where you need to actually throw another out and get it in? He runs up to the line of scrimmage, you know, hands the football to his own center, who you know you have to spot the football from a referee, crashes into the ref, referee spots the ball, game clock ends, and it was hilarious to watch everything play out. But the simple fact is, then we see the press conference on the last play of this game, and Mike McCarthy's up here saying, so I have, you know, the wide receivers coach, the tight ends coach, the line coach, the head coach, who's Mike McCarthy, and the offensive coordinator, all in a line on a chain of command there. Basically, what typically happens is this is Kellen Moore's offense. He calls the plays. Mike McCarthy's the head coach. He'll just say, like, hey, let's get a quicker tempo or throw a lot on this drive. Doesn't call the plays, but just tells Kellen Moore, here's the directions I want. You make the decisions here. But now when we watch the press conference with Mike McCarthy, and he said at the end of the game, our analytics guy said this was the right play. So you're telling me I have a headset on in the biggest moment of the game, and I'm hearing from a guy that I probably never heard his voice from that just comes on and goes, right now, quarterback draw. I just ran it on the computer. Quarterback draw is the best way for us to win this game. All right, guys, send it in. Quarterback, what is going on in the Dallas Cowboys? Who has the headsets? Does Jerry have one? Does Stephen Jones Jr. have one? Does Romo have one up in the booth here? Are you kidding? You're legitimately telling me that in the crux of the moment on a two-minute drive, they have no timeouts left, in the middle of a play call, one of the biggest play calls of the game, an analytics guy dropped a quarterback draw is our best play here to win the game? I can't believe that, Kevin. It's amazing that this is actually coming out here.
And that obviously is wild. And it is difficult to not then immediately jump to the fact that Mike McCarthy should be fired. But again, that was obvious last year. But that's besides the point for just a minute here. The San Francisco 49ers so drastically said, here's the middle of the field. To the point where, Donnie, they basically just lined up every defensive player on the boundary. And the Dallas Cowboys said, we're going to take the middle of the field. Now, I actually think that's okay. Let's get closer. We should be able to run a play. Donnie, they had the option to either take the middle of the field with any of their skill position players who all run 4-5 40-yard dashes, or the slowest offensive player they have in Dak Prescott on a delayed play. Like, Donnie, he dropped back and wasted another 2 seconds and then went. It is the most insane thing I've ever seen. And as far as Cowboys fans saying, oh, the refs jobbed us, why were they in there? Because it was the rule that the ref has to touch the ball. He tried to do everything he could to the point where he was barreling into players to get to the football, basically flicked it and ran out, and you didn't get the playoff because it was your own fault. Oh, and by the way, Donnie, you think they missed the 25 to 40 seconds they cost themselves when they pretended they were going to run a play with the punt team about 2 to 3 drives earlier? As per usual, in tremendously unsurprising fashion, Mike McCarthy and an absolute lack of understanding of the game of football is a massive reason as to why this Dallas Cowboys team has underachieved once again.
No, and it caught everybody off guard because that last play, you're taught in situational football, Kevin. How many times do you see a wide receiver, a running back, or in the last parts of the game where the time is running down, they get down on the field, but they fire the football like to a referee, like legitimately, like a 20-yard pass to a ref so he can spot the ball down. The best part about this was the fact that Dak Prescott ran down the field, slid, got up, put the ball down. His offensive line sprinted that, and they sort of walled off the referee because what should have happened here is Dak Prescott slides down and literally holds the ball right where he's at. Yeah, ref, here is the ball. And they would hand it to him. He steps behind and gets the snap ball. So there's a lot of craziness to happen. But when I talk about this football game, it was 23-17 final. It was an ugly game, but it was so entertaining. And I call it these coaches doing too much, Kevin. And what I mean by that, both of these guys did ridiculous stuff in the second half. And I'm talking about Kyle Shanahan and also Mike McCarthy. You're right. The punt out there, fantastic call, wide open play. You're going to get momentum back on your field. The offense runs right back on and continues the momentum. But they held everybody off, and they cut to the line with Fossil, the special teams coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. And he's sitting on the side, like, hold back, hold back, hold back. And I'm saying to myself, and then you hear Romo and come onto the screen and say, they're trying to get the 49ers to call a timeout. The 49ers had their base defense out on the field and didn't even move. So the fact that the Cowboys thought that they would hold everybody on, run the football. And now the one thing that they were smart of, because I think they knew this, when the kicking ball comes out and then gets reversed back, they have to restart the play clock. So they essentially burned a minute 30, but they thought they were going to cost the San Francisco 49ers a timeout. But at the same time, the 49ers had a two-score lead here. What does that timeout even matter at that point here? And what are you trying to prove instead of running your quarterback back out there? Instead, you get a delay game, which forced you to kick a field goal, Kevin, which the field goal had you at two scores and kept you at two scores. Now, real quick, the end of the game here for the 49ers on the fourth and an inch. What are we doing, Kevin? All you have to do is run a quarterback sneak. You pick up the first down, which they did. But for some reason, Shanahan's like, man, I'm such a genius. Watch me throw the whole defense off by running Trent Williams in motion to the opposite side, and he doesn't get set. Like, in the biggest moments, the easiest way, run up to the line of scrimmage, everybody's in place, wait 1 second, hike it, fall forward, the game is over. Why is Trent Williams running in motion? How many times in his career, Kevin, did Trent Williams run in motion on a play in the NFL?
Jimmy Garoppolo was 25 for 25 on QB sneaks before that play. Just sneak it. It's an inch. Just sneak. It's so true. Now, again, we're going to come up against the break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about how we got here and different things like that, okay? But one of the other things for the Cowboys who say we got jobbed by the refs, and I don't know how many of you there are, you still would have needed to complete a 25-yard last play, not a Hail Mary, but like everyone's in the back of the end zone kind of play. Not an easy thing to do. Also, you were down 23-17. Dak Prescott was awful in this football game, and then, as he always does, pumps up garbage time numbers to maybe look at a little bit better. There's a lot of questions to be answered in Dallas. We'll come right back to you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the early line. We'll get the Chiefs-Steelers in just a minute. I know Donnie wants to talk a little more about this Dallas team, and trust me, they'll be featured tomorrow in Hot or Not in some way, shape, or form. I want to quickly say in terms of the San Francisco 49ers, and I'm going to make this point, we'll see if these numbers are ever reposted. And look, they got a tough trip to Lambeau DRS, but Deebo Samuel, 10 carries, 72 yards and a touchdown, 3 catches, and 38 yards as well. We've talked about those long shot Super Bowl MVP numbers where Jimmy was 30-1 and Deebo was 70-1. I'm telling you right now, if the Niners make this run, it is not because of Garoppolo. It is in spite of Garoppolo. 16 of 25, a buck 72, no touchdowns and a pick. I know it sounded ridiculous, but I told everyone last week, my favorite pick in this game was him to throw a pick. And Jimmy Garoppolo, improbably up 3 scores, finds a way to throw an interception here. The Niners have a chance to beat anyone, Donnie. But when they eventually lose and the Garoppolo stat line is stomach-turning, nobody, including that Niners front office, will be surprised.
Yes, and I always like to look at Kyle Shanahan. I tweeted out yesterday on Twitter. Basically, you know, Shanahan says everything that you want to hear in front of the podium. Hey, look, man. This guy's great. We never doubted him. He's a great football player. In the biggest moments, even he has to take a look at, man, the only way we lose this game is Jimmy Garoppolo implodes. 23-7, oh yeah, airmails, a pass, interception. Here come the Dallas Cowboys down the stretch. It's time and time again. This offense can get rolling, and Jimmy G can look really good, and he's a viable NFL starting quarterback. There's no question about that here. But when you want to get to the pinnacle, you need a quarterback that you know in the biggest moments can deliver. Now, did he against the Rams? Yes, he did. But how about in the Super Bowl where they had a lead there and you just couldn't trust him? To the point where you had 3 timeouts, 50 seconds on the clock, and the ball around your own 40-yard line. So, you know what, Jimmy? I don't want to risk it here. Or how about the playoff games where you're rolling the Vikings? Jimmy Garoppolo implodes early in that game, throwing multiple interceptions. And Kyle Shanahan goes, we're going to win this game. We don't even have to pass. They don't let him pass, basically, the rest of that game. Jimmy Garoppolo almost did it again yesterday. But here's the question I have also on the San Francisco 49ers moving forward. You saw it was a nice win yesterday. How about Nick Bosa? Banged up with a concussion. No guarantee this weekend. How about Fred Warner, one of the best young linebackers in the NFL, tweaks his leg yesterday. So this is one of those teams where, yes, it was a nice playoff victory, but attrition's going to start to set in if injuries continue to mount. But you brought up Deebo Samuel, and I have to tell you, there's very few times. This guy's sort of, I don't want to say he came out of nowhere. We knew he was a good football player at South Carolina, came into the NFL, but never in a million years did I think Deebo Samuel, who as a wide receiver and a running back, would be the single hardest guy to tackle that maybe I've seen in 25 years in the NFL. Every time, Kevin, he gets the football, and keep in mind, again, he's a wide receiver. He's the best running back on the field when he gets his hands on the football. The cutbacks, the breaking the tackles, you know, the wiseness of the play isn't working in the middle. Bounce it outside. Keep it inside. He is a fantastic football player, and what a gem they found. I like the San Francisco 49ers. I like Kyle Shanahan, but my goodness, it's about that trust factor, Kevin. We took a look at the Rams. Now they have Matthew Stafford. We'll see how it plays out in the playoffs now, but it was one of those where I say to myself, if the 49ers, can you imagine, Kevin, in the offseason, if they didn't spend their draft capital on Trey Lance, but were able to swing a deal where the guy got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo and made a move for one of like Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, or like a Russell Wilson, they would walk to the Super Bowl and dominate. But the fact is, you still have Jimmy Garoppolo. So every single week I go, man, I would love this 49ers team if they didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's going to sound grandiose, but I think Deebo Samuel has a real chance to change the running back position as a whole. Because instead of like, oh, I need a guy that can kind of carry a workload, and it's like, no, I'm just going to get the ball to the absolute most impossible guy to tackle in the world. The guy had 13 touches and averaged 8.5 yards per touch. That's undeniable. That is unstoppable. He's an absolute rock star at the position. Donnie, look, again, we'll have plenty of time to do some more of the Dallas stuff tomorrow, but I know you had a couple of other points you wanted to make here before we hit Kansas City and Pittsburgh. The Dallas Cowboys, 12-5. Won a division, the number three seed in the NFC. A lot of people thought they could lose this game, and well, lose this game they just did.
No, they certainly did. And the interesting part about this overall is where does this go into the offseason as well with Mike McCarthy? But more or less, Kevin, the plays, the calling, you know, and you say, oh, Kellen Moore, maybe he can't come back this year. The problem is Mike McCarthy. It's the head. It's the CEO guy making all those calls. But also keep in mind, it's the CEO, Kevin, that we talk about in-game and what happens here and the dedication to the team and also being disciplined as well. Did you see late in this football game, in the biggest moments, lining up off sides, in the biggest moments, defensive linemen holding, and in one of the, you know, the penultimate plays in this game late where all you had to do was make a stop, Randy Gregory tackles an offensive lineman for no reason whatsoever that causes a penalty to extend a drive. You're talking about the discipline of the football team, which wasn't there from the quarterback play to the scrambles at the end of the game to the defensive linemen doing their own thing. It's amazing here. And one person is to blame. That is Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, again, his job, he's not the offensive guy or the defensive guy. He's just supposed to make correct decisions, and he never makes them. I have no idea how you justify bringing back Mike McCarthy. Again, we can do more of that tomorrow. There'll be plenty of time. Kansas City and Pittsburgh. One of my favorite flips of the switch I've ever watched in my life in any sport ever. We talk about running mates, right, Donnie? And the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Donnie, when a team gets up 10-0 and in the third quarter they realize their opponent doesn't have it? The Kansas City Chiefs, on their second possession, 4th-and-1 at midfield, said, yeah, they're useless. We're just going to punt every time because Big Ben can do absolutely nothing. And then they come out, a little Mecole Hardman, Darrell Williams, wildcat play that ends in a fumble. By the way, quick footnote. Oh, I love when we give it a running back to not Patrick Mahomes. Oh, you're new to the Chiefs offense, evidently. This is what they do. It didn't work once. Stop complaining. Now, they end up getting a TJ Watt scoop and score touchdown, and Mahomes says, oh, watch this, and proceeds to go out there, Donnie, and touchdown, 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 touchdown. 5 consecutive drives that end in a Patrick Mahomes passing touchdown. 6 drives in a row that end in a passing touchdown because then Travis Kelce threw one. Because the Chiefs, Donnie, just woke up and said, not only are we going to now embarrass you, we're going to empty the playbook for no reason here. A dominant performance when it was all said and done for the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, you're right. Like, dominant performance in the playoffs. Remember when the Dallas Cowboys entered in the week 18 against the Eagles? Hey, man, boy, we got 51 on the board, man. We are ripping and raring, ready to go in the playoffs. And then you see teams like the Kansas City Chiefs who look horrible in the first quarter and go, you know what? I'm Patrick Mahomes. I have Tyreek Hill. I have Travis Kelce. I have a good offensive line, and let's get after it. And they did, because that's a decent Steelers defense that they absolutely ravaged. 21 points in the second quarter, 14 in the third, and 7 in the fourth. They blew this team off the field. And look, for a while, like, how did the Steelers win any games this year? Oh, yeah, look at this. You know, defense plays decent in the first quarter. They pick up a defensive touchdown. You know, the Chiefs aren't out. Oh, look at this. The Steelers are going to hang around the chicken coop. Not so fast in this one. This is why it's so hard, Kevin, while we talk about betting against the Kansas City Chiefs, and the same thing, per se, with the Buffalo Bills. When they are right on offense, they are so hard to stop. And you know what's going to happen, Kevin? These two teams are going to play each other next weekend. It's going to be fantastic to watch. And I want to say this again. There's a lot of jobs in the NFL that are going to be open for grabs next year. 7 to 8 of them already. Maybe even more. We don't know what's going to shake out here. But I always love to see the sideline where they show Eric Bieniemy calling the play. And everybody loses their mind and says, hey, you see that? He calls the plays on the offense. Let me give you a hint once again how this matters, because it pops up every time they talk about who's going to be a coach and why they're going to be a coach. Eric Bieniemy, that offense, 42 points. No, let me tell you. Andy Reid looks at the play chart and goes, play 17. And then Eric Bieniemy calls play 17 into the ear of Patrick Mahomes. Yes, he's technically calling the plays, but he's not picking the plays out here. And I'm not to say he's not going to be a head coach. Guys, I think there's a legitimate chance on this cycle he gets it. But for all the people out there that say, see, look, he calls the plays. No, he doesn't. Andy Reid has done this for over 20 years now, where he picks the play and the offensive coordinator relays it into the quarterback. It's not hard, people. Just watch and pay attention.
The only thing, though, I will say on all of that, Donnie, as far as Bieniemy goes, right, in the same way that everyone, you know, all of a sudden, right, is going to give me a chance because I've learned enough under your tutelage as one of the all-time great sports hosts ever, right?
Yep.
I mean, right? Like, that's exactly how that plays out, right?
That's exactly. My tree is huge
have
in this business.
Eric,
my tree is huge.
That's what I'm trying to say, right? Exactly. Like, Donnie, they've plucked off countless people from the Andy Reid coaching tree. Eric Bieniemy has been there for years now, and they've been as successful of an offense during that run as anyone. We don't want to see if Eric Bieniemy can carry over what he's learned from Andy Reid. Like, yeah, enough's enough here, okay? We like, Dan Quinn's going to get the job again. All we do when when we hire defensive coaches is just fire defensive coaches because we need offensive minds. Like, enough's enough with the whole, like, Bieniemy needs to be hired. We've done this song and dance.
I think he will be head coach this year. I do.
Yeah, it's time. Look, I in a way, it's kind of right though, Donnie. Like, there's a minute left in the segment. I know we have to preview the Monday game. We can expand on it maybe a little bit on the other side. Big Ben's career ended last night.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everyone knew his career was over going in. It's almost like they would have been better off not making it. He could have ended in a win in the regular season. Like, Don, like, he's trying to get into the end zone. The Chiefs fans are booing him, calling a timeout to see if he can get a late touchdown. I don't know. No one really seemed to have much time for this.
By the way, let's forget about this game and talk about my broadcasting tree. I mean, people coming up under my tutelage, you know, like Ben, you know, Ariel, you know, we have so many people there that have learned so much. I think the next segment we should talk about who underneath me should get promoted to even bigger jobs. How about that one? Let's get to that.
No, listen, it would be an interesting segment, but then all of a sudden the truth might reveal that basically this has been a LeBron James Cavs Finals backpack job by old K Dubs. And all of a sudden then the card gets pulled when things look a little bit different. Look, this is me at Donnie when he doesn't look at the rundown, just like LeBron, baby. Come right back. The early line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Lot to get to, little time to do it. KC in Pittsburgh to close this out quickly. Patrick Mahomes, 400 passing yards, 5 passing touchdowns. Travis Kelce is absolutely flirting with GOAT-tier talk when it comes to the tight end position. 5-108 and a score. I want to mention one thing. We talk about moving towards next week here. Jarek McKinnon, 142 scrimmage yards, gets into the end zone. That running back room for Kansas City is going to be really interesting. But Jarek McKinnon is a guy that was supposed to be an absolute rock star at the position. The Niners paid him to do so, healthy, and could be a legitimate tool here for the Kansas City Chiefs. I just will say, you can't constantly get down if you're Kansas City, like the way you're going to probably to Buffalo next week. It's not the ideal path. Why don't you just come out and do this from the jump, Donnie? But also, again, and I'll give you a chance here on Pittsburgh quickly, they knew, and everyone knew, that the Steelers were drawing dead before we ever kicked off.
No, they certainly did. And the offense has been broken. It's been broken all year long, which is amazing. And this is a credit to Mike Tomlin, somehow getting this team into the playoffs. But you watch the same scenario every week. They thought they were outsmarting everybody, Ken, by retooling the offensive line, and it was a disaster this year. Yes, they made a decent pick in Najee Harris, figuring that if we just get a really talented running back, our offensive line can stink and we can still be effective. That wasn't the case here. Now, I like Najee Harris. Had a lot of carries this year, had a lot of, you know, good moments, but overall, it came down to Big Ben in this offense, because sometimes we look at offenses that really struggle. What do you want Big Ben to do? He's throwing the junk at wide receiver. That's not the case. He had some legitimate weapons, but the offense seemed to be stuck. If you know, maybe I'm dating myself here. Tecmo Bowl in the old Nintendo system. It had 4 plays, Kevin. I think the Steelers used that same playbook. Quick slant, jump ball, quick slant, jump ball, quick slant, jump ball, handoff up the middle. I mean, I don't understand the offensive philosophy overall, but it did get him to the playoffs. Now, we know Big Ben is going to retire, and we'll see what he does, you know, after this, if he comes in the broadcast booth, which he probably will. But coming into this game, what did we anticipate that was going to change? Because the question of everybody was not really if the Pittsburgh Steelers could slow down or stop Kansas City. It was like, where were the points coming from for the Pittsburgh Steelers? And the points really, hey, they got 21 done. They could have been in the football game. No way. This was a blowout. And this is a slowdown offense that finally Big Ben was dragged across the finish line of his career. And the future is now for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, and tomorrow, look, we'll do a lot of hot or nots and things around these eliminated teams. Yep. What are the Steelers going to do with the quarterback position? What are the Vegas Raiders going to do with their head coaching slot there? But we have one more team, Donnie, that will be eliminated. It's either going to be the Los Angeles Rams or the Arizona Cardinals. A Rams team that came in, and I think Donnie has approached this season with a Super Bowl or bust approach. The Arizona Cardinals, in a way, Donnie, it was house money until it wasn't. When you think about what we said with the New England Patriots here, you became a heavy favorite to be the number one seed to win your division, and that was all squandered away. But one thing, though, that we've talked about with Arizona, and it's very difficult to navigate, Donnie, because it kind of goes against everything that we know when it comes to sports. But this team is probably better off playing in Los Angeles than Arizona. When they played them in Los Angeles, they won 37-20, and they dominated that football game. They lost the home game. This team finished with an 8-1 record on the road, Donnie. They were a bang 500 team, or 5-4, whatever it was, at this year at home. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch this team. 3-5 at home. They had a losing record at home. What am I talking about here? The Arizona Cardinals, though, are a 3.5-point dog. The total's 49.5, Donnie. When you look at these lines, what are you thinking for Rams-Cardinals?
I'm actually surprised the line is hitting here at 3.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook on a Monday, because just taking a look overall, it's one thing when you have that hot team that gets in the playoffs that nobody wants to mess with. That's not particularly the Cardinals here, losers of 4 or 5 games, and obviously without DeAndre Hopkins, their best overall weapon. Now, maybe J.J. Watt comes back and gives an emotional, you know, appearance tonight where he plays 5 plays and has his helmet off and he's bleeding on the sideline. They can get behind that. But outside of that, I think the Rams are overall the better team altogether. Like, you like that, right? Yeah. Runs out with the American flag again. By himself tonight.
Yes.
So that's probably what's going to take place. But if we look at the overall argument of this game and in the playoffs particularly, Kevin, the quarterback position is massive, like a great pitcher in baseball. He's going to be the maestro of the team, and how he plays is how the team's going to go. And you saw over this first round so far in Wild Card Weekend, the better quarterbacks leading their teams to victory. Not debatable, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously not as talented as Dak Prescott. They got that one. But the other games out here, the better quarterbacks win. And tonight, the one question I have for you, which is I ask, you know, just about people all week, if that is the case, who's the better quarterback that you like tonight? And to be honest with you, neither one of these guys have, you know, enormous playoff scenarios where they're making waves and heading to Super Bowls. Obviously, Kyler Murray, very young in his career, but Matthew Stafford, a veteran in the NFL. I still would have to give the nod, Kevin, overall here to Matthew Stafford.
Look, here's the thing, DRS. I think you talk about two guys. I think you talk about two teams that every single thing you could throw out at me as the way this game will play out is absolutely live. What does that mean? Okay. There's no world where the Pittsburgh Steelers were going to go into Kansas City and win that game 10-7. That's not even a game script that makes sense. That's laughable. Stop this. That's absolute madness to even suggest, right, DRS? This game is Cardinals 24-10. Yeah, I gotcha. This game's Rams 35-30. Sure, I could see it. And everything in between, DRS. You're talking about two quarterbacks that can go out there, give you 300 yards, three touchdowns, clean football, and shred defense. You're talking about two quarterbacks, Donnie, that might absolutely feed the opposing defense a touchdown, no questions asked, and maybe multiple interceptions here. And that's what makes this game so difficult to nail down. But Donnie, again, it doesn't make sense because it's supposed to be difficult to win on the road. And it's certainly supposed to be way harder to win on the road than at home. But Donnie, the Arizona Cardinals with an 8-1 against the spread record, okay, on the road, and a six and oh record straight up as a road underdog this season. I have to take the points here, Donnie, with the Arizona Cardinals. I think they can win the game. Look, you and I will be live for a good portion of this on In Play Sports tonight, a classic live betting game if there ever was one. But pregame, Donnie, I have to line up with the dog.
No, and I understand it. I really do, because they're technically evenly matched teams, which is why they're matching up tonight in a playoff game. But if you look overall also at the 49.5, this game doesn't have the feel to me as an under, because you do have two quarterbacks that, when they get going, can be quite electric. The offense, what's Cliff Kingsbury known for? He comes out of college. Oh, man, he ran some great defenses. No, he's an offensive guru. Sean McVay on the opposite side. What does he do? Oh, he's a great No, he's not a defensive guy. He is an offensive guru. We're taking a look at games where over the weekend, hey, what's the temperature, Kevin? 32 degrees. What's the wind? It's freezing cold. This is going to be in a dome on the fastest track possible. They should be able to get after. So if we're taking a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook today, Kevin, a 49.5 is a total. Not one of those games that I'd be looking to take the under in this one per se. You know, football games, as we saw, two analytical approaches for both of these guys. Points are going to still be at a premium. If there's fourth and threes, fourth and twos, they're going to take the points here. But again, you're kicking in a dome. You're not kicking in windy weather conditions. I do expect points in this game, because I'm looking at from both of these offenses, if they can get going, they should be able to get into the 50s.
Yeah, look, and I think now we can transition over to the props market, though, Donnie, where I think there's going to be a lot of excitement around this football game. There's a lot of key guys that can jump off for the page, no doubt about it. I will say this. I'm really interested to see what the James Conner, all of these props are going to be. They've already said Jay Glazer from Fox yesterday confirmed that he's going to be active for the game. And that's enough, Donnie, for me to bet him to score a touchdown at plus 120. They played twice. He scored multiple touchdowns in both of those games. He's 7-1 if you want to take the chance there for multiple touchdowns. I don't know what the workload, Donnie, is in between the 20s, but I know down in the 10-yard line, it's going to be the James Conner show. He is the anytime touchdown scorer that jumps off the page the most to me. Where in the props market does this game jump out to you?
Yeah, it's a good look there, because you're right. Sometimes it's not overall about like what your job is going to be. Hey, I needed to get 25 touches. If you know you're the goal line backer, you're the red zone guy, all you have to do is what, Kevin? Get the team into the red zone. So if I told you right now, hey, James Conner is going to get three touches in the red zone, that's it, three, you would take that touchdown prop, because that's a pretty good chance that he's getting a handoff inside the 5-yard line, possibly at the 1-yard line. Or how many times have we seen this year a dump out into the flat where he just runs over somebody into the end zone? I'm going to go a little bit different here. The reason why you went out and got Odell Beckham Jr. is for big games like this. The fact that Robert Woods was going to be your number two wide receiver and Odell was your three, that was going to set up and be a dynamic three-set wide receiver heading into the playoffs with Cooper Kupp. Now, Robert Woods, as we know, is not there. I think Odell Beckham Jr. now has found his groove in this offense and a legitimate chance to score a touchdown on the biggest stage in the world in the playoffs to everybody who told him, you are the cancer of every franchise that you are with. You're never going to be make a playoff run, let alone win a Super Bowl. I think he comes to play tonight, Kevin. A plus 120 here, anytime touchdown, similar there of what we're looking at James Conner. Also, taking a look at the touchdown passing market. I'll get to a weekly or the game special in just a few moments. But I think this is legitimate for both sides. It is expensive also, Kevin. Instead of trying to double up or saying, I need one in the first half, one in the second half, which I do think there's a pretty good chance of. How about if you just take a look at Kyler Murray, over 1.5 touchdown passes at a plus 112. Matthew Stafford is very expensive at a 188. But what's more likely in this game? Like, let's just say the Rams win this game. Do you think Matthew Stafford's going to have one touchdown pass and they're going to run it in three times? Probably not. So that minus 188 does seem expensive, but when you try to break it down, yep, two touchdown passes out of Matthew Stafford in a dome doesn't seem like a lot. And also, if I expect the Rams to win, which I do, that means Arizona's going to be throwing in the fourth quarter, and that's not a bad price, Kevin. Over 1.5 touchdown passes at plus money for Kyler Murray seems decent to me.
It is, Donnie. It's a number that he's cashed in 5 of 7 road games, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Now, it depends how much you're willing to lay juice. It's minus 188 on Stafford. I'd still be willing to play, Donnie, the 2.5 number at plus money. Matt Stafford has gone over that 1.5 spot in 7 of 8 home games, including that last game that they played against Arizona on the road, Donnie. He went for 3 touchdowns. And listen, Donnie, to the Cardinals' passing defense in the 6 games they played since the bye week. Dalton for 2, Stafford for 3, Goff for 3, Wentz for 2, Dak for 3, Russ for 3. Bleeding touchdown passes, DRS. The Arizona Cardinals secondary there. The numbers on Stafford, again, if you don't mind playing juice, minus 188. If the 2.5s become available, I think you can still look in that direction there overall. I will also bring up, DRS, Stafford to throw a pick, minus 122. Picked in 7 of his last 9 and 4 consecutive games. He's been picked in 2 of the 3 playoff games in his career. Last one, a little bit of an odd one, but I really like it, Donnie. Christian Kirk, a guy that I remember you told people about as soon as Hopkins went down. Like, hey, don't pass up on this guy. His yardage prop is 50.5. Not a bad look. But also, Donnie, over 21.5 for his longest reception. He's hit that in 5 of his last 6. The numbers all increased since Hopkins went out. Big play guy who will be targeted. I think he'll catch a football tonight for 22 or better.
Yeah, I like that too. And also, you know, doubling down on my Odell Beckham Jr. here to get any time touchdown. I think this number is a little bit low also. Receiving yards for him tonight, over 44.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Makes a lot of sense here. We know Cooper Kupp is going to be the main guy, right? Probably 10, 11, 12 targets. He's probably going to approach 100 yards. But somebody has to work off of that. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, the one guy you need to stop is Cooper Kupp, which means there's going to be a couple deep shots here for OBJ. It might only take 2 catches, Kevin, to get over that 44.5 yards tonight.
And look, Odell, Donnie, that last game against Arizona, 6 catches, 7 targets, 77 yards, and that score. Odell Beckham Jr., whether people want – look, that's a guy in a big game. He's going to be ready for the moment, DRS. It makes a lot of sense. This is going to be a great, great game here. No doubt about it. Myself and Donnie will be live on In-Play Sports tonight, 7 p.m. start time there. We'll set you up, match specials, if they're still allowed. I almost want to ban them. We'll break it all down. We'll follow the game live. Make sure you check that out there. DRS tells you to listen up and close it out a Monday early line right here on Sports.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for the early line on a Monday, playing armchair quarterback with myself, Donnie Whiteside, and Kevin Walsh, setting the table from 7 to 9 before we hand it off to Ben Stevens and the morning after. The refs, they were running wild this weekend, people. Listen up here. All right. Did you guys have fun over Super Wild Card Weekend? Some of those games blow out. Not necessarily the most fun viewing, but keep in mind, this week coming up in divisional round action, the big boys come out to play. Now, when we talk about football and some of the games and the biggest plays, it's always nice to say, hey, the purity of the game. Did you see that catch by the wide receiver? Did you see that run by the running back? What an unbelievable interception by that DB. But then we get a look at some of these playoff games and say to ourselves, what are the refs doing? Why did they do this? I can't believe they made that call. The one thing that you want out of a referee in any sport is never to be mentioned. An umpire in a Major League World Series game, I don't want to hear about his strike zone. I don't want to hear about a blown call and a turned double play ball. That's not what we want. We want the players to decide it. And it seemed like the refs were like, you know what? We get paid too. And I think some of these fans actually come out to watch us. Case in point, did you see so many missed calls this weekend and so many calls that did they have to be made? You take a look there at the holding calls. You know, Jason Kelsey, on a key play early in that game, a holding call that was phantom and had to get called back. Derek Barnett hitting Tom Brady by touching him and helping him back up caused a flag. But the biggest ones here coming later, the whistles on the Boyd touchdown in Cincinnati. Or how about the play in Cincinnati where there was a big play, 30-yard catch by Ja'Marr Chase, multiple infractions by the defense, but they said a timeout was called and a whistle never blew. And then we get to the Dallas Cowboys game, which was one of my favorite finishes in football over the past couple of years. Why? Because I'm an Eagles fan. And it's always nice sometimes to see the Dallas Cowboys take a loss in that manner. But the simple fact is, what is going on out here? How are we making these decisions? Why does it come down to the end of the game when instead of trying to break down the game itself, we're saying, what are the referees doing? What are they reviewing? And what kind of call was that? And did they have to make that call? It's maddening at times, but it's the NFL. It's the playoffs. Crazy things happen. Stay tuned here for Ben Stevens and the Morning After right here on Sports Grid. You know who's going to be there first hour? Steve!